Love Maseches Brachos. It's a very nice sefer on Maseches Brachos that was just published by Rabbi Reichman and his son, Rishima Shiurim on Maseches Brachos. So in Rishima Shiurim, there's a discussion on this blot about how to properly understand a machlokis on Amud Aleph. And that machlokis is with respect to the case of Kimcha Dechiti. If you have a flour made from wheat, so it's mishtaneh from the wheat, which is normally a bracha b'rei pri ha'adama. It's eventually going to be made into bread. What's the bracha that you make now? Do you still make a b'rei pri ha'adama, or do you make something else? So the Gemara says as follows: Kimcha Dechiti. This is about 8 lines from the top of Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'rei pri ha'adama. Rabbi Yehuda says the bracha is b'rei pri ha'adama, even though it's been ground into flour. Nonetheless, it still maintains its status as b'rei pri ha'adama. Rabbi Nachman Amar shehakol nia b'dvaro. Rabbi Nachman says that this is a case where it should be shehakol nia b'dvaro, and the question could be that maybe they're arguing about whether a dover that has the bracha b'rei pri ha'adama, something that grows from the ground, loses its bracha when you change its form. According to Rav Yehuda, it retains its bracha, and according to Rav Nachman, it does not retain its bracha, and if it's ground up, so it becomes shehakonia bidro. And the Gemara goes on, and it could be that maybe this case is different. Maybe Rav Nachman would only say it in this case because of the fact that it's on its way to becoming something else. But if it reaches sort of its final form, so maybe even he would agree that it would retain the bracha b'rei pri ha'adama. So this is halacha lemaise. He brings in the sefer two different rayos that it could be that as a general proposition, when we're referring to, a vegetable or a legume, something that grows from the ground, that would normally be a berchas b'rei pri ha'adama, even if you grind it up and change its form, it would still retain, under normal circumstances, the bracha b'rei pri ha'adama. One is the fact that our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph says that with respect to b'rei pri ha'adama, be'al peves ha'aretz hu omer b'rei pri ha'adama chutz min hapas, that the only exception, generally speaking, to the rule that from peves ha'aretz, that which grows from the ground, you say b'rei pri ha'adama, would be bread. Why? Because bread, we know, is a special case, that it's soe, that it is something which provides for mazon, and is the staple of the meal. And we make hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So we see that if not for the special status of bread, the bread is accorded a special... is put into a special category by the psukim in Nach that talk about how lechem is the staple of all of food. Nonetheless, otherwise, even though it's a processed food, and even though it's completely transformed and it's changed around from the original state of the wheat that it started out as, we normally would make a bracha b'rei pri ha'adama. It's just because bread is in a special class by itself that we say the bread gets us a different bracha. But otherwise, even something which would be of altered form would maintain the bracha b'rei pri ha'adama. And similarly, the Gemara later on Lamed Tes, talks about maya de silko, that if I have beets that are steeped in water for a long period of time, and now I'm going to drink that liquid solution, into which the flavor of the beets seeped, even though I don't have them, I'm not eating the actual beets, I'm just eating the maya de silka. So the Gemara says that on the maya de silka, you would make a b'rei pri ha'adama. So we see from here as well that it seems that as a general proposition, when we're talking about something where the bracha started out as b'rei pri ha'adama, that even if it changes its form, it would still retain the status of b'rei pri ha'adama. That's the Gemara towards the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. A Papa said, Shitli Maya de Silka Kisilka Maya de Lifta Kalifta, that it would maintain the bracha of b'rei pri ha'adama. So, based on this, there is a possible approach that maybe when it comes to b'rei pri ha'adama, This probably would explain why, for example, if you take peanuts and you ground them into peanut butter. So even though peanut butter, even if it's creamy peanut butter, right, there's chunky peanut butter and there's creamy peanut butter. But even creamy peanut butter, we assume should be a berei pri adam. And those who follow this approach, it seemed to be an approach of the Rav, would say that even if I no longer have the original flake, let's say I have potatoes, and I make potato chips out of the potatoes, and I reconstitute them after I grind them up and so forth. So according to this shita, it wouldn't matter whether the potato chip was from the original flake or whether it was all reconstituted or whatever. You would always make a berei pri adam. This is a question as to whether we would say that if it's completely ground up, it's completely reconstituted, it has no resemblance to the original chip, the original flake, the original potato, would it still retain the bracha berei pri adam? I think that this might be a nafka mina with respect to Pringles, right? Because they always used to draw a distinction between Pringles and other potato chips, right? The other potato chips were straight from the potato, and Pringles were reconstituted or whatever. So those who would be sticklers for this particular shita would say, no, break once a break pi adam, always a break pi adam. And others would say, no, that there's a point in which of departure that if it becomes so completely crushed up and reconstituted and it has no resemblance to the original flake, you make, then you no longer would make a berei pri adam. So what would you do? You would go down to the next notch. The next notch would be shahako. So that could be a real machlokis lemaisa, how you understand the bracha of berei pri adam. With respect to berei pri ha'etz, so the Bach writes at the beginning of Siman Reish Beis that he thinks berei pri ha'etz, if in fact it berei pri ha'etz would probably be different according to this approach. Berei pri ha'etz, once it loses its original state, so you go down one notch in terms of the bracha. He says you would go down to a berei pri ha'adama if it's a completely ground up completely. So you would go down to a berei pri ha'adama if there was no resemblance or semblance of the original fruit that was still intact. So then you would go from berei pri ha'etz to berei pri ha'adama. Apparently, from what I have recorded in my notes from the shiurim that I heard from Rav Shechter on this topic when I was a talmid in the yeshiva, the Rav subscribed to this view of the Bach. He thought that it should go down one notch. But the Bach also quotes the Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen was of the opinion that once you lose the original bracha of berei pri ha'etz, so then it would go down to a shahako. It would go down completely, not just one notch, but once it's no longer berei pri ha'etz, so then it would be shahako. So you have, and then of course you have a shita that says, no, that berei pri ha'etz would be similar in the way that we treat berei pri ha'adama. Just like berei pri ha'adama, even if it's no longer in the original form, it would still be, you would still make the bracha berei pri ha'adama. So the same would be true of berei pri ha'etz. It could be the Rambam holds this way. The Rambam has a discussion, also born in the Mishumas HaShiurim, in Periches, about sukkar, about something where you take a sugar cane and you make sugar out of it. What bracha do you make out of it? So the Rambam seems to be inclined to think that this is like Zeya, so therefore would be a shahako. Not because he holds that on a reconstituted berei pri ha'etz that you would make normally a shahako. In this case, he holds that it's like Zeya that flows from it, so he holds it's a shahako. He says the Gaonim don't hold that way. And he brings the machlokas, two different views within the Gaonim, one which says that you would make a berei pri ha'etz and one which says that you would make a berei pri ha'adama. So what are they arguing about? So they're probably arguing, he thinks, about this issue, about whether we say that berei pri ha'etz always retains its bracha like berei pri ha'adama, whether we say that no, if it's not in its original state, so then it goes down a notch and you make berei pri ha'adama. So you have in Siman Reish Beis in the Shulchan Aruch, so you sort of have both of these views captured in the machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. This is in Sif Zayin. It talks about dates. Tavarim Shemachan Biyot. If I have dates that have been crushed completely, I have dates that have been crushed completely. So then what's the halacha? Despite the fact that you made like a paste out of them and there are no dates anymore that are visible, nonetheless the bracha remains the same. This is a quote from the Rambam. The Rambam host seems to hold this way. So the Rambam host that you still retains the original bracha. But the Rama says otherwise. The Rama says, Lafisa Odin, the Rama, he gives some other examples of Lat Verin, which is called Pavidale. Okay. However, he says v'yesh omrim, but there are those who say the varech aleihem shahakol. So he quotes the Truma Sedeshin that the Bach had quoted. So he said he doesn't even quote the Berepia, the Shita of the Bach. The Bach holds that Berepia eats is kind of the more specific bracha. Berepia adam, you're going down a notch, right? If you make a Berepia adam on something which is mina eats, so you yotze b'di'evit. So he says, so you go down just the Berepia adam. So he doesn't even quote that. He quotes the Truma Sedeshin and says, you make a shahakol, v'tov locha shechatchila varech shahakol. So since shahakol, if you make the bircha shahakol, you yotze anyway. If you make shahakol in anything, you're yotze. So therefore, since you're going to be yotze with shahakol, so therefore, since there happens to be a shita that says lechatchila, you should say shahakol in this case, and we know that it's certainly good with the avid. So therefore, lechatchila says the Rama that it's better lechatchila to say shahakol. Balim birach berei piyetz yotze. But if you did make the bracha berei piyetz, he holds that you are yotze because he thinks that that's the yik of a din that you would be yotze with berei piyetz. But because there is the shita that you should say shahakol, and everyone knows that yotze was shahakol, so therefore we recommend saying shahakol. So this could be an application with respect to what? With respect to very smooth applesauce. If I have applesauce, which is chunky, so it's chunky applesauce where you have real pieces of apple, so then that for sure is berei piyetz. But if I have applesauce that's completely processed and it's not chunky at all, so in that case, what do? We say shahakol. So therefore we follow the practice of the Truma Sedeshin, that we go down one notch. Seems like we go down two notches in such a case where there's no resemblance of the original fruit. So this could be, even though it's not really seized upon explicitly in, I guess, any of the, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, you don't find this very pointed distinction between the reconstituted berei pri adam and a reconstituted berei pri eitz, but this would explain the various practices that we have with respect to the brachos that we make. You look at peanut butter on the one hand and applesauce on the other hand. So the peanut butter we say berei pri adam, and applesauce we say shahakol. What if, for example, if you assume that there is some legitimacy, though, to the notion, even on the Shita Saramam, that maybe berei pri eitz also, even if it's reconstituted, that there's still some argument, that may, like the Machaber says, that maybe it should still be a berei pri eitz. So this could be relevant if I have a suffik bracha, if I'm eating something which is a, if I'm eating, say, a food where I have a question whether to make a shahakol or berei piyetz, because there are two different components to the food. One component of the food is a berei piyetz, one component is a shahakol, but I'm not sure which is the yikr. What's the classic case about that? Anybody who's ever gone to a movie theater? Years ago, when we were younger, we used to go to movie theaters. So they used to sell in the lobby of movie theaters, they would sell raisinettes. So raisinettes was always, this question, because on the one hand it's a berei piyetz because of the raisin, on the other hand it's the chocolate, it's shahakol. So what, are you eating it because of the raisin, or are you eating it because of the chocolate? So I would say, well, you have to figure out why you're eating this. Is it mostly because you're interested in the chocolate, or because you're interested in the raisin? And some would say, I think we're both shell, so you make a bracha both on the raisin and the chocolate. I don't know exactly how you do that. So some say, in this particular case, since there is a shita, I remember when I was in Shalavim, so I was in the Shalavim library as a Talmud, and I found a sefer called Mekor Bracha, which is a very fascinating sefer. I think it was written by an English rav on Hilchos Brachos, and he had a very, very long essay in which he tried to argue against the Minhag Olam to say Shehakol on chocolate, because he felt that since it came from the cocoa bean, and that's a Berei Pri Eitz, therefore for sure we should say Berei Pri Eitz, even though it's in a reconstituted state. He had all kinds of arguments as to why you should still make a Berei Pri Eitz. So I'm saying, in this particular case, so you should make a Berei Pri Eitz, because number one, possibly you can argue that the raisin is the ikker, so you make a Berei Pri Eitz for that reason. And number two, even if it's not the ikker, b'di'evit, if you made the Berei Pri Eitz on the chocolate, you should be yotzei too. So that's what the Rama seems to say. It says, so they held in this case as well. Some say that b'di'evit, you'd be yotzei Berei Pri Eitz on the chocolate, because it comes from the cocoa bean, which it starts off as a Berei Pri Eitz. So therefore, in this case, you don't have to struggle so much over which bracha. Either way, you make a Berei Pri Eitz and you'll be okay. That's what some say. Yeah, but whenever you have the ability to make a more precise bracha, and definitely be yotzei, so you should do so. When do you make the less precise bracha? When you wouldn't for sure be yotzei with the more precise bracha. So then you make the less precise bracha. But but whenever you can reach the threshold where it's number one a more precise bracha, and number two you're definitely yotzei. So that's always considered to be superior to do it that way. Okay. Yes.
The same thing applied.
No, because there you're not yotze a ha'eitz with a if you're not yotze with respect to a peanut, if you make a ha'eitz, you could be yotze if I make a brei pri adam on something which is really ha'eitz, so b'di'evit I'm yotze. If I make a brei pri eitz with respect to something which is a brei pri adam, so then I'm not going to be yotze. So therefore, this eitz doesn't work with respect to peanut chocolate combination. So then you still have the same issue. Why are you eating it? Most people who eat M&Ms, I think, are eating it for the chocolate. No, I think so. In M&M, you don't even like see some of these other things. They like at least have the shape of the food that's inside. Like you can tangibly feel the food that's inside. You know, with an M&M, I don't know, you feel like a chocolate, no? And then there happens to be a peanut inside. You don't feel like you're holding a peanut necessarily, right? I don't know. Interesting chakira. All right, but so the Gemara also on the subject of brachos towards the bottom of lamed vav amud beis. So it talks about the bracha berei minei mezonos. We have a little bit more of a discussion of the bracha berei minei mezonos. Yesterday we spoke about it. The Gemara didn't talk about it, but spoke about how everything is on except for mayim u'melach. So some say that you could be yotze berei minei mezonos on it, but the evid on anything other than mayim u'melach. But the Gemara didn't say that explicitly. But this is a more explicit Gemara. So here the Gemara talks about, it's about, it's, I don't know, seven lines in the bottom maybe of Amud Beis. Chavitz kedeva v'chein daisa. If I have some sort of a dish, a kedeva, a cooked dish, that's made up of a flour, of wheat flour, and it's mixed with water and with honey. So it's like a pastry. I have a pastry of some sort. V'chein daisa. Or if I have porridge, I have some sort of a cereal dish. So these are all, they started out as grains. What happened was that I crushed the grains, I processed the grains, I cooked the grains. So if you process and cook grains, so then it becomes berei minei mezonos. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, if I just cooked it and it remained whole, and it wasn't crushed or milled in any way, and it wasn't stuck together, that might still be berei pri adama. But here we're talking about where it's all become a different solution. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Shahako Niya Bidroa. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you make Shahako, Rav Kana, my brahmin name is Onus. That's a wee paskin. We pass like Rav Kana, then you make brahmin name is Onus. Okay? The Gemara says that B'daisa Greda, if it's just regular cereal, that I'm processing the grain, so processed grain, so of course everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that's brahmin name is Onus. Ki pligi B'daisa Kain Kacharvis Kadeva. Talking, they argue, where you're mixing in honey, because Rav Yehuda Mashako Savadusha Yikr, Rav Yehuda holds that the honey is the Yikr, Rav Kahana Amar Bereim Neim Izonos, Savasmida Yikr, Rav Kahana says, no, Bereim Neim Izonos, because the flour is the Yikr. So Amar Rav Yosef, Kavasi Rav Kahana Mistaba, so Rav Yosef says that he thinks that Rav Kahana makes more sense, Rav Shmuel Dami Torvayu, it's not just Rav Kahana, Rav Shmuel also agree. Everything that it has within it, the chamesh is minim, from the five grains. What are the five grains? Wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and we assume oats. Oats is a question as to where Shibo Shul is really oats. Rashi seems to indicate, based on his French translation, that it is oats. So we generally assume it's oats. Some say that they're not so sure that it's oats, but we generally assume it's oats. So if you have anything from the five grains, Mevachin Allah Bereimi Neim Izonos. So you always make a Bereimi Neim Izonos. So that's a very important halacha with respect to the laws of Ikka B'Tafel. The Gemara later on, I think Memdala talks about Ikka B'Tafel whenever I have a food, and then one of the component is the Ikka, the main part, and the other part is only the ancillary part, the Tafel. So you always make the bracha on what? You make the bracha on the Ikka. You don't make the bracha on the Tafel, that would be an unnecessary bracha, that would be inappropriate thing. You just make the bracha on the Tafel. So whenever I have Mizonos, which is mixed in, so then I make a berei minei mizonos. So Tosos here has an important discussion about when does this principle apply, that whenever there is the mizonos component, whenever there is the five grains in the food, it says within the food, as opposed to I have mizonos and then I plop something on it afterwards, so that's not as obvious. But what if I cook it, I prepare it, I make a cake, I make a pie, I have a non-mizonos component, I have like the food filling or whatever, and then I have the pie crust. So if it's all prepared together and there's a mizonos component, I make a potato knish. So I'm cooking the potato together with the crust. It's all being prepared together. So if it's all being prepared together, it's all part of the same food. It's all part of the same food. So then the indication of the Gemara is that you always make one bracha. What's that bracha? You make a berei minei mezonos. Even though you might have plenty of other ingredients, but nonetheless, if any of the ingredients that's adding to the concoction is contributing to the concoction is a mezonos, so then I make are the five grains, so then I make a mezonos. So Tosfos says that this is all true and good, and he says that this is all true in the event if I'm putting flour into, he gives different examples of where I'm putting flour in different dishes. Where I'm making some sort of a lentil kedeira, or I'm making it with leeks, or I'm making it with almonds, shkedim, that are made for a chola. There's some special dish made for a chola where you have flavored leavened, almonds. You put almonds together in a mezono solution. If you're doing it in order to the reason why you have the five grains is in order to get nourishment derive satiation, so then you make the bracha berei minei mezonos. But sometimes you might just use the flour as a binding agent. The flour is not being used as flavoring at all. It's just being used as a binding agent. So then So then he says you don't have to say berei minei mezonos. I think the Rabbi Akiva Egu on the side says eino tzarech means you don't. Not the eino tzarech, you don't have to. You can't. You can't say berei minei mezonos because then the mezonos is not the ikar at all. It's just being used as a binding agent. Like what would be an application of that? Gefilte fish. So gefilte fish, so you might put some flour inside, but it's just assumed to be for purposes of flavor. It's to hold everything together. So if it's just for purposes of holding it together, so the bracha is still shahakol. You wouldn't make a berei minei mezonos in such a case. That's generally, the Rosh also has such a distinction as well. And that's generally assumed the halakha, that we look at whether the flour was added for taste and flavoring, or whether the flour was just added as a binding agent. So, for example, what's an application of that? So I remember when I was growing up, some of the bracha books, it could be that these were just local bracha books that, I don't know, that weren't necessarily the main svarim that were coming out even at the time. But I remember that we used to be told as kids, you know, when you eat licorice, you got to make berei minei mezonos because there's flour inside the licorice. So that's not the halacha in the contemporary bracha books. Some brachas have changed over the years. So all of the contemporary bracha books say, no, licorice is a shahakol. So what that there's flour inside? Flour isn't there to contribute taste and flavoring to the licorice. The flour is there just as a binding agent. That's as Tosa says, if it's only being used as a binding agent but not to contribute taste, so then you would make a berei minei mezonos. That would not be the yikar. But again, this is all, the lashon is very meduya, koshi yesh bo. I'm preparing a food, and the way that I'm preparing it is that it has within it mechameshes haminim. What if I have some sort of a mezonos, and then I plop something else on it afterwards? I have some spaghetti, and then afterwards I put some cottage cheese on top. Do I say in such a case that because of the fact that within this concoction there is mezonos, there is from the five grains, from the processed five grains, so therefore that defines the entire food and it automatically becomes berei minei mezonos and I don't have to add anything else. So the poskim say, well, it depends. Then I don't have necessarily the rule of koshi yesh bo mechameshes haminim. I just have to look at whether what I'm plopping on top of the mezonos is intended to enhance the flavor of the mezonos, so whether I'm eating it sort of completely on its own. So it's assumed if you're eating spaghetti, you put cottage cheese on top, you put a little cottage cheese. So it's intended to enhance the flavor. So you'd only make a berei minei mezonos. If you eat cereal in the morning, I have raisin bran. So I put milk on top of my raisin bran. So if I'm putting the amount of milk that makes it all more digestible and that makes the raisin bran more flavorful, so I'm adding the milk for purposes of the raisin bran. I'm adding the raisins for purposes of the bran too, we assume. So I wouldn't make even a bracha on the raisins. I would just make a bracha on the cereal. I would make up a berei minei mezonos. I wouldn't have to make any other bracha. Some poskim say that if I put an enormous amount of milk, so that shows that really I want to drink the milk, and then I'd have to make a separate bracha on the milk. So that's, I don't think most people do that. Most people just put the amount of milk to make the cereal more flavorful. So yes. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Chelek Dalet of Orach Chaim Siman Mem Gimel, in which he talks about what if I have a pie crust. And the pie crust is a strange example because the pie crust seems to be sheish bo, that there I'm preparing the whole thing together. I'm baking the whole pie all at once. So he seems to say that if you're not really interested in the crust itself, you're just really interested in the rest of the pie. Like if I have a very thin crust, not if I have a thick crust. If I have a thick crust, so clearly then it's an integral part of the concoction. He says if it's very thin, like if I have cheesecake and the crust is very very thin within the cheesecake, so then if I'm interested in the if I'm interested in the crust, so then I make a mezonos on the crust, and I would also make shahakol on the cheesecake. He holds that it would not be count as sort of defining the entire combination. If I'm not interested in the crust, so then he thinks that the cheesecake itself, the cheese, would be the ikkar, and I'd only make a shahakol on the cheese, and I wouldn't make on the crust at all. So most poskim seem to assume not that way, but that even if it's a very thin crust, that the mizonos would still define the combination. I'd only make the bracha on the mizonos, but some say you have to look and figure out whether the crust is there to impart flavor, whether the crust is just there to hold together the rest of the cheesecake. If the crust is just there to hold together the cheesecake and it's not really there to impart flavor, so then maybe you would really just make a bracha on the cheese and not on the crust. And maybe according to Rav Moshe, you could, if you were interested in the crust, you even though it was really not for the purpose of imparting flavor, so then you can make both a mizonos and a shahakol. So that becomes a little bit more of a question. You look at, for example, SNS cheesecake. So SNS cheesecake has a... Anyone ever eat SNS cheesecake? That's a famous cheesecake that's in Riverdale. It's one of the best cheesecakes. So SNS cheesecake has a relatively thin crust. So that might be a question according to Moshe Feinstein. Is that crust there in order to impart flavor? Is the crust there just for purposes of binding the whole thing together? How many brachos would you make? So SNS cheesecake happens to be excellent both in terms of the cheesecake and the crust. I wasn't hired to do a commercial, but so I would think that one could certainly make the argument. We had this question in the office the other week because we brought in the cheesecake to celebrate somebody's birthday. So I bet you that I enjoyed the crust. I thought the crust was an important part of what produced the flavor. So I thought that it was okay just to make up a Raven Amazonas. But that's a question. That's a question. If it's not clear that it's a thick crust. If it's a thick crust, so then it's not a question altogether. Then Rav Moshe talks about, like, if I have an ice cream wafer. I have an ice cream wafer, so I have the ice cream, and then I also have the wafer. This would apply, presumably, as well, if you have an ice cream cone, that you prepare the ice cream separately and you prepare the cone separately. So they're both prepared separately. That, presumably, doesn't qualify as a situation of kol sheyesh bo, that the whole thing is baked together or cooked together. No, you have ice cream that's prepared, and then you plop the ice cream on top of a cone. So he says there as well that if the person is interested in the cone, so let him make a mizonos on the cone and a shahakol on the ice cream. And if he's really just interested in the ice cream and the cone is just there to hold it together, I think he has a lashon of saying, and maybe you're only eating the cone because it's there. Like you're not interested in eating the cone otherwise, you're eating the cone because it's there. Like you climb Mount Everest because it's there. So you eat the cone because it's there. You eat the things, that are on your plate because they're there. So he says that, so that really the person is mostly interested in the ice cream and he's eating the cone because it happens to be there. So then he thinks that you could get away just with the Berchas Shahakol. Probably then to be on the safe side, you should start. You shouldn't start by chipping away at the cone. I don't know how most people eat their ice cream. I guess most people start with the ice cream, right? If you have an ice cream cone, you don't like start with the cone because then, already you would cause it to start to drip and to lose its integrity. So most people would start with the ice cream part anyway. So then you could just make a bracha on the ice cream. So you might say, why is this different from the cheesecake? The cheesecake, an apple pie. I love the apples and all that. But you tell me that I make a mizonos on the crust, and that covers everything. So why wouldn't you say the same thing with an ice cream cone? So the difference is that the apple pie is called sheyesh bo. The whole thing was prepared together. It was all cooked together in this fashion, an ice cream cone. So you have the cone separate, you have the ice cream cone separate, and you're plopping one upon the other. That would be the distinction. That's the general understanding of the minhag olam. that as to why we don't why we say with an ice cream cone that you can't just make a mizonos on the cone. Even if somebody likes the cone, nobody says that you can just make a mizonos on the cone. Everyone seems to assume that in such a case, even if you like the cone, so you make two brachos, you wouldn't just make a bracha on the cone. I don't know whether one could perhaps make an argument that could be kishyesh, but maybe that's also a case of kishyesh bo. But it depends maybe how it's prepared. But generally, when you go to like an ice cream parlor, they it's not all prepared together. You have all of the containers of the ice cream. Then they ask you, you want a cone? You want to put it in a what's it called, a cup or a or whatever? So it is one being put on top of the other. So that would explain the distinction that's usually made. Yeah.
Are you allowed to?
If you like, so Moshe says, yeah. If you like the cone, if you're eating it, if you're somebody who happens to really enjoy the cone, you say, I want a waffle cone. I want a sugar cone. You're somebody like you're mocking about the cone. You're like, you know, you care about, you know, you want the right cone.
They give you that option in the ice cream parlor, and you clearly indicated what you prefer.
Yeah, now it could be that you don't really care either way, but you just have to give an answer because otherwise you won't get your ice cream. So, you know, but it could be that you really want one of them. Right, so if the yikar is a shahakol, so then we generally assume that you make a berei nefashos, and we don't worry about the mizonos. And likewise, like let's say that I have raisin bran. So if I have raisin bran cereal, so I had enough raisins to make birchas mein shalosh, to say I'll eat so apriyes, but it doesn't matter. The yikar was the mizonos, so I only have to make a mizonos to begin with, and I only have to make, I mean, I'm making a mein shalosh anyway, but I only have to make an alamichya. I don't have to say I'll eat so apriyes in such a case. There's a little bit of a machlokis about it. If you add bananas, so does that get included or not? So most poskim, I think the Moshe might hold that the bananas, you make a separate bracha. But most poskim, I think, hold that, no, if I'm adding blueberries, bananas, whatever I'm adding, that's all just to enhance the flavor. It's just a flavor enhancement. It's just a flavor enhancer. I don't have to make separate brachas in any of those things. I just make a bracha on the cereal, and it covers everything. Okay, stop here.
Do they add the crunches to the after?